1 Samuel 17 is one of the most exciting and well-known chapters in all of Holy Scripture. In our study of 1 Samuel, we have come now to this remarkable portion of God's Word, which describes how a young shepherd in Israel by the name of David was enabled to defeat the giant and great champion of the Philistines, Goliath, as he trusted in the Lord. The biblical account of how David took on Goliath and defeated him on the battlefield with nothing more than his stone and sling is one that we naturally find appealing and even thrilling. David was the underdog. He was despised and belittled by virtually everyone. And yet despite everything that was stacked against him, he triumphed over his great foe. He got the victory over Goliath. On this occasion, the seemingly weak person overcame him who appeared to be so strong. Now, from a purely human perspective, this is something that we all love to see happen. You're pleased when the small man is successful and knows something of victory over the big man. This is even true when it comes to sport. We love to see the underdog winning and getting the victory. Perhaps a small team with amateur players that nobody knows has to play against one of the big teams whose players are famous and are paid a vast amount of money. No one is expecting anything but a crushing defeat for the small team. However, on match day, the players in the smaller team get stuck in. And with wholehearted and dogged determination, they defeat their celebrity opponents. Everyone is filled with amazement and surprise, and they're delighted for the little team and how they have been able to beat the odds and get the most unlikeliest of victories. Well, the story of David and Goliath is very much one where the underdog triumphs over his great foe. In fact, it is the most marvelous account of the underdog getting the victory. Therefore, from a purely human perspective, the account of David and Goliath is something that we naturally find exciting and even thrilling. Of course, for the Christian, the biblical account of David and Goliath is filled with the most encouraging and stirring truth. The believer is reminded here in a wonderful way of the secret to victory in the Christian life. David was able to overcome Goliath not because of his own strength and ability, not because he was a uniquely gifted man, but he was victorious over Goliath because he trusted, and he fully trusted in the Lord. And this is why David got the victory, because his faith and his trust was in his God. This is key to success in the Christian life. Keeping our focus on the greatness and glory of our God and trusting him through all the challenges and difficulties that we meet with. The simple truth is, David was not afraid of Goliath. He did not see this man as an insurmountable obstacle because he knew and believed that the Lord is the Almighty One and there is nothing that he cannot do. David then teaches us, as God's people, how important it is to live day by day trusting in our God. How important it is to keep our eyes upon the greatness of our God. Even as we meet different challenges and obstacles, difficulties in life, none of these things are greater than the one who is the Lord. And so this chapter is not only a most exciting one, but it's also filled with encouragement for the Christian. However, as we come to 1 Samuel 17 today, that which I want us to consider, and God willing to consider also over the next number of weeks, is how this chapter very powerfully brings before us gospel truth. How this chapter brings before us gospel truth. We could say this portion of God's word depicts for us the great spiritual battle that has raged in this world and continues to rage between good and evil. This is really what is woven into the fabric of these verses in 1 Samuel 17. The spiritual battle, the great spiritual battle that is found in this world and has been found in this world since the fall of man. Now, what I want us to do is to consider the different characters that are brought before us here and to draw important spiritual lessons from each of these characters. Generally speaking, there are three different characters or groups in view in this passage. There is Goliath with the Philistines. Then there is David. And then there is Israelites led by King Saul. These are the three different groups that we have in view here in this passage. Today I want us just to focus our thoughts upon Goliath and to draw some important spiritual truths from this man who was the great enemy of God's people in Israel. The subject then that we're focusing upon today is the enemy of Goliath. That is what we're considering, the enemy of Goliath. And there are a number of things that I want us to note here as we think about how Goliath was the great enemy of the Israelites. Firstly, notice in this passage, Goliath's mission, his mission. In the opening words of 1 Samuel 17, read of how the Philistines once again had invaded the land of Israel and were coming to fight against the Israelites. We don't know, but perhaps they had heard that Saul had been troubled in his mind. And so they thought this would be a good time to attack and to fight against the people of Israel. This would be an opportune moment to go and to take on our enemy and to overthrow them and to drive them back and to bring them into bondage when their king, when their leader is found in this weak and feeble state. However, as we come to verse 4 in 1 Samuel 17, we see that the Philistines, as they go to battle against Israel, bring out their secret weapon. They bring out their secret weapon. Verse 4 tells us, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Notice here it speaks of how Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. In other words, Goliath was their great warrior. Amongst the Philistines, he was the fiercest and deadliest of their fighters. He was the man that the Philistines trusted in to give to them the victory over their enemies. Now in Scripture, the Philistines were the enemies of God's people, always attacking them, always seeking to drive them out and bring them into bondage. This was the Philistines. They are the great picture of the enemies of God's people, the foes of God's people. As we then think of Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, we can say of him, he was Israel's greatest enemy. He was their most dreaded foe. And that's what we see in Goliath. The Philistines were the enemies of God's people. Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. Therefore, he was the greatest enemy, the greatest foe of God's people. But Goliath was not only Israel's greatest enemy. He also very much depicts and symbolizes the Christian's greatest foe. And that, of course, is Satan himself. This is who Goliath reminds us of and points us to in Scripture. The devil, who is the champion of the powers of darkness and who is the great enemy of God's people. Therefore, as we meet with Goliath in God's word, his behavior, Goliath's behavior, teaches us much in regard to the devil and how the devil is always seeking to attack the Christian and always seeking to attack God's work. This is what we see through Goliath. The devil's plans and his purposes and his wicked attacks upon the people of God. And then thinking of Goliath's mission as he came to attack the Israelites at this time, we see in this something of the nature of the devil's mission as he goes about seeking to attack God's people. And of course, as Christians, it is important we understand the devil's mission and what he's seeking to do as he attacks God's people. But we need to understand what the devil is up to, what his game is, for this will help us to stand against him and to resist him, the one who is our great enemy. We need to understand what he's trying to do and how he's seeking to work in our lives and amongst us. As we then examine this passage, it is very clear that it was Goliath's mission to try and instill fear into the hearts and minds of the people of Israel. And this is what Goliath was seeking to do. He was seeking to instill fear into the Israelites. As Goliath paraded up and down, challenging someone in Israel to fight him, he was all of this time seeking to fill the hearts of the men in Israel with fear. And this passage tells us this is exactly what happened. This is what happened as he went about and paraded before them. See what it says in verse 11 here in 1 Samuel 17. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And so Goliath, in still fear, entered the men in Israel. See also what it says in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Goliath then, as the great champion of the Philistines, was seeking to instill fear into the hearts and minds of the Israelites. This was the mission he was engaged in. The mission of seeking to cause them to be fearful and afraid. Now just as it was Goliath's mission to cause Israel to be fearful, so the devil is about the same work. He is engaged in the very same work. Satan is continually seeking to instill fear in the hearts and minds of God's people. And we need to understand this. This is Satan's mission for your life, believer. This is what he wants to do with you. Make you fearful. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, the devil is described as a roaring lion. A roaring lion is a terrifying and fearful thing. If you were out on the road for a walk and you met a roaring lion and this wild beast roared at you, you would be instantly filled with fear. You would be terrified. The greatest fear would grip you as you met this beast. Well, this is one of the reasons why Satan goes about as a roaring lion. Because he wants to instill fear in your heart and mind. The devil seeks to make the Christian fearful about many things. He wants us to be fearful about service. Well, you can't speak for Christ. You will be criticized. And he instills fear in our hearts. What will happen? You're too weak. You're too insignificant. You're not qualified to speak. And therefore, the Satan seeks to instill fear in our hearts so we don't serve the Lord. The devil seeks to make the Christian fearful not only about service, but also of being satisfied. About being satisfied in the Christian life. And this is what he often does with young Christians. He says, listen, you're missing out. You're missing out on all the enjoyments of life. Look at everybody else. They're having a whale of a time out there. And you're missing out. Indeed, this is what the devil did with the prodigal son. He was in his father's house, but the prodigal son seen the far country and all its glamour and all its attractiveness. And the devil instilled fear in the heart of that young man, and he was fearful that he would miss out and he wouldn't enjoy life. And so he headed off. And again, this is what the devil does. This is how he works. We can also say, the devil seeks to make the Christian fearful about salvation itself. He brings our sin before us. And he says, you're not really a Christian. And he tries to undermine our assurance. He tries to undermine our faith in Christ. Look at what you've done. Look at how you've behaved. You're not a Christian. And he causes us to be fearful in this sense. See, this is the mission the devil is in. As God's people, we need to be aware that this is what the devil is seeking to do with us. Create fear in our hearts. And you see, if he can create fear in our hearts, he can weaken our faith. And being weak in the faith, he leads us into sin. One step leads to the next. And this is why the Lord says to his people in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And of course, this is brought before us many times in Scripture. The command is given, we're not to be fearful. Why? Because this is exactly the mission of the devil in regard to our lives. It was Goliath's mission to instill fear in the people of God. And this is continually the devil's mission when it comes to the Christian. To create fear in their hearts and lives. And so we have here Goliath's mission. But then notice with me, secondly, we have also Goliath's might, his might. It is impossible to properly consider Goliath, the great champion of the Philistines, without thinking of the strength and might which this man had. The word of God makes it clear, humanly speaking, he was the most awesome and remarkable individual. In verse 4, we are told his height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span. The well-known Bible commentator Matthew Henry has calculated that Goliath would have been 11 feet 4 inches tall. 11 feet 4 inches tall. Now, I measured it. The wall here up to the roof in this building is 13 feet. And so roughly just a little lower than our windows was the height of Goliath. You imagine that? The sheer size of this man. His stature. His height. Then in verses 5 to 7, we're given a description of the armor that he was clad in. It says in verses 5 to 7, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass upon his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Literally from head to toe, Goliath was covered in metal. One biblical commentator has said that Goliath was like a walking tank. He was like a walking tank. And of course, carrying all the weight of this armor, it reveals to us the remarkable physical strength that Goliath had. An ordinary man could simply not have carried the weighty armor and weapons that Goliath carried. An ordinary man would have been struggling to move in these things, never mind fighting them. Yet, because of Goliath's natural height and strength, the weight of his armor and weapons were of no trouble to him. We all know that David, with the help of God, in the end defeated Goliath. Nevertheless, the fact remains. Goliath was a mighty man. He was, in every sense, a most strong and fierce opponent. What an opponent he was. However, as we think of the outstanding and remarkable might of Goliath, it is a solemn reminder to us of what a powerful foe we face in Satan. What a powerful foe we face in Satan. No one in Israel at that time was doubting that Goliath was a strong and dangerous enemy. Everyone was well aware of it. Yet the mistake that Christians sometimes make when it comes to the devil is they fail to grasp that he is a very powerful enemy. And the devil possesses the most remarkable strength and ability. This is something that is clearly brought before us in the opening chapters of the book of Job. Turn with me for a moment just to Job chapters 1 and 2. And just notice with me here how we see the devil's great power. These chapters 1 and 2, we could say, are really a systematic theology about the devil. And we learn so much about the devil's ability, his power, and how he behaves. But notice here a number of things about the devil's power. We see in Job chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, the devil has power to control people. His power to control people. Notice what it says in verses 14 and 15 of Job 1. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the ox were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Notice also what it says in verse 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now notice what has happened here. The Lord gave the devil permission to attack Job and what he had. And what does Job do? He moves the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans to go against Job and to viciously attack Job and destroy what he has. And so the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, what were they were under the control of the devil. The devil was controlling their actions. He was controlling what they were doing. Even the attacks they made upon Job, this was all the attack of the devil. You see, the devil was controlling men here. He was controlling people. And he's power to do this. He's power to do this. We also see here in this chapter, the devil has power not only over people, but over the physical world. He has power over the physical world. See what it says in verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came another, also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. See here what happens. the fire of God fell from heaven. This is referring to lightning. Lightning came from heaven and burnt up Job's property, sheep, and his servants. See also what it says in verses 18 and 19. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder's brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And so we see here the devil, what's he doing? He's controlling the lightning. He's controlling the wind. The wind here, the physical world. And remember, the Lord had given the devil permission to attack Job. And what does the devil now use? Lightning and wind. And so he has power over even this physical world. Then we also see in chapter 2 in the book of Job, the devil has power to bring sickness. He's power to bring sickness. See what it says in verse 7 in chapter 2. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. See what Satan did here? He smote Job with these sore boils. Now here we witness the supernatural power of Satan. That's what we witness here. His strength, his ability, his supernatural power. And this is the enemy that we face as God's people. This is our great foe. We can say he really is a Goliath, because this is the power and ability he possesses. Now then, as Christians, we should ever be mindful of this tremendous power that the devil has, so that we in and of ourselves will recognize that we cannot match him. We need to keep before us the nature of this foe, for this will shape how we resist him and how we stand against him. Put it like this, Satan and his great power and strength is not something that we should be worried about as Christians. Not something we should be worried about. But it should make us wise. It should make us wise. It should move the believer to continue to look to the Lord for help and all that they need to resist this mighty and dangerous foe. Yes, the devil possesses great power, but he's not omnipotent. He's not like our God. He's not like our Savior. He's not all powerful. So therefore, we're not to be worried about him. We're not to be worried about him. Because he's not like unto our God and our Savior. But we are to be wise in regard to him. And we are to seek the help of the Lord. We are to seek to put on the whole armor of God day by day. The enemy of the devil should move the believer to flee to Christ. Look to him for the power of his Spirit and grace to resist Satan and to withstand him. The simple truth is, only a fool would ignore the great danger that the devil possesses. Only a fool would. And we are reminded of this in Scripture so we will recognize that we cannot fight against him, we cannot resist him in our own strength, but we go to the one who is stronger and mightier than he. And in him we can know victory and we can know help. And so as we think about Goliath's might, it must remind us of the great might of Satan and how we can overcome this enemy through our Savior, who is the Almighty. But then in the third place, I want us to consider in this passage not only Goliath's mission and his might, but Goliath's methods, his methods. That is, the methods Goliath used or employed as he attacked the people of Israel. I think it is an important point to note that Goliath did not just turn up with the army of the Philistines and start to physically attack certain towns and villages in Israel. He didn't do this. Instead, he employed certain methods as he attacked the Israelites. He went on the offensive by using different means. And this is how Goliath went about his evil work. Now once again here, Goliath very much depicts Satan and how Satan uses different methods as he engages in the evil work of attacking God's people. And the devil has different methods or different ploys. Let's just consider just for a moment the different methods Goliath used to attack the Israelites and how they point to the different ways the devil seeks to attack the Christian. You see, in this passage, Goliath employed deceitfulness. He employed deceitfulness as he attacked the Israelites. Notice again what Goliath said in verse 9, in 1 Samuel 17. Verse 9 says, and this is Goliath speaking, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Goliath then was promising that if someone steps up, someone from Israel steps up and killed him, then the Philistines would be the servants of the Israelites. And that's what he's saying here. Oh, choose out a man, let him fight me, and if he kills me, then we will be your servants. But when David did step up, when David defeated Goliath, did the Philistines lay down their arms and become Israel's servants? They did not. Instead, they fled. And in the future, they attacked the people of Israel many times. They came back many times and they attacked the Israelites. Therefore, what we see here is the lies and the deceit that Goliath was spewing out that day. He was a liar. And that which he promised was false. It was empty. It was all lies. Well, lies and deceit are the weapons that Satan continually employs. They are the weapons he continually employs. In fact, the Lord Jesus declared of Satan in John 8 and verse 44, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil uses lies every day to attack and tempt the Christian. This is how he goes about the work he engages in. He uses lies. We see this with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He came to Eve and he spewed all the lies that he could muster up to tempt Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. He said, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil if you eat this forbidden fruit. And you're missing out. And it was all lies. It was all destructive. And this is still how Satan works. He comes to the believer, he comes to the Christian with all of his lies. And he will say, well, this sin's not that serious. Oh, don't worry about that particular sin. It's not a serious issue. It's not a big deal. Or he'll come along and he'll say, don't deprive yourself of that enjoyment. There's pleasure in that. There's enjoyment of that. How could that be bad? It's so pleasurable. It's so satisfying. And it's all lies, for it's for the destruction of your soul. He will say to the Christian, you don't need to speak for Christ. You don't need to witness for him. Don't bother yourself with that. That's for the missionary. That's for the minister. That's for the evangelist. Don't get involved with that. It's not your duty. And it's all lies to stop you serving Christ. Goliath employed deceitfulness as he attacked the Israelites. This is a weapon that Satan continually uses, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it. Notice also here Goliath employed defiance as he attacked the Israelites. He employed defiance. In many places in this chapter in 1 Samuel 17, read about the defiant and blasphemous way Goliath behaved. See what it says in verse 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Notice here it speaks of how Goliath was defying the armies of Israel. But then see what it says in verse 45 here in this chapter. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. What we see here is Goliath, as he prayed it up and down, was defying and blaspheming the Lord. And this is what David tells him here. He wasn't just defying the armies of Israel. He was defying the Lord of hosts. And really this is what so grieved the heart of David and moved him to go against Goliath because of how he was defying the Lord. Yet again, as we read here of Goliath's defiance, we are reminded of another method the devil employs as he seeks to attack God's people and work. He seeks to go about this work with defiance. Just think of the different ways Satan stirs the hearts of men to defy the Lord. And we see it so much in our wicked and corrupt society. Atheism. And we hear the atheist define the very existence of God. There is no God. And I can do as I please and live as I want. And it's blatant defiance in the face of God. Those who promote evolution. This world hasn't been created by God. This world happened by chance. And this is what they preach. This is what they do. And it's defiance. This is what God has created. This is what God has made. This world is His handiwork. And it declares His glory and His majesty, the scriptures tell us. But men in their wickedness say, no, it doesn't. This is just happening by chance. And they're living in defiance of God. Of course, all false religion is blatant defiance against God. It is saying, we will have our own religion. We will have our own God. And we do not submit to the Lord. It is blatant defiance. And the devil has a hand in all of these things. All of these things are an attack upon the Christian's God and Savior. Blatantly defying Him. And of course the devil attacks the Lord to create doubt within our hearts and minds. And this is why he does it. This is why the devil moves men to be so defiant against God and against His truth. Even to create doubt within our hearts and within our minds. Think even of what was happening there in the battlefield or on the battlefield. Goliath was defying the Lord. He was saying, I'm greater than your God. And there was people in Israel, soldiers in Israel, and they were starting to doubt in God. That's why they wouldn't fight. That's why they wouldn't get up and go against them, because they were starting to doubt. And this is how Satan works still today. He acts with great defiance against God. To great doubt in our hearts and our minds in regard to who our God is and His glory and majesty. So Goliath employed deceitfulness. He employed defiance as he attacked the Israelites. See, also here Goliath employed determination. Determination as he attacked the Israelites. See now the words of verse 16 here in 1 Samuel 17. Verse 16 tells us, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. This shows us how persistently Goliath continued his verbal attacks upon Israel. It was relentless. 40 days. Morning and night he went out and he made this parade where he blasphemed the Lord, challenged the Israelites. And behaved in this way. This was relentless. Day in and day out, he did this for 40 days. Yet again, here we see another tactic which the devil employs. He is a determined, Satan is a determined and relentless enemy. And 1 Peter 5 in the verse 8, Peter puts it like this. The devil as a roaring lion walketh about. He walketh about. The words walketh about bring before us the idea that Satan is always busy. Always engaged in his evil work. Never resting. The same thought is brought before us in the book of Job. Already referred to the book of Job, but this is what it says in Job chapter 1 in the verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And then it tells us in Job chapter 2 and the verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now this walking about and going to and fro and up and down in the earth speaks of how Satan never rests. He never rests from his evil work. He is constant, persistent, and relentless. And seeking to find ways and opportunities to attack the Christian and to destroy the souls of men and women. We could put it this way, the devil never takes a day off, nor does he miss an opportunity. He is a determined foe. Think of how the devil tempted Christ. Luke 4 in the verse 2 tells us, being 40 days tempted of the devil. That was, Christ was 40 days tempted of the devil. Now those 40 days, the devil never once succeeded. We know this. The devil never once succeeded in his temptations of Christ for 40 days. He never once succeeded, but he never gave up for 40 days. He kept going. The devil then employs determination as well as defiance and deceit as he attacks the Christian. And again, we need to be aware of this. You will face the devil today. Yes, you will face him tomorrow and the next day. And he will come in a different way, using different tactics. But he will come and he will keep coming and keep coming because he's a determined foe. Relentless. And we need to understand this in regard to living the Christian life. Be always on guard. Be always ready to resist him and withstand his wiles. And then in this chapter, we also see Goliath employed derision as he attacked the Israelites. He employed derision. Read of this in verses 42 to 44. It says there, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him." And the word disdain there means derision. He mocked him. "But he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." See here how Goliath mocked and scoffed at David. And he sought to belittle him before all that were gathered there that day on the battlefield. Once more, that which Goliath did is also that which Satan does as he attacks the people of God. In this world, the Christian is mocked. The beliefs of the Christian are mocked. The behavior of the Christian is mocked. Very often the boldness of the Christian in preaching the gospel is mocked. But behind all of the mockery of men is the devil himself. This is how he works. This is how he acts. These are the methods he employs. As the father of lies, he stirs the hearts of men to mock and scoff at the truth. The methods Goliath then used to attack the people of Israel teach us, and they warn us of the methods the devil still uses to attack God's people. We have then here Goliath's mission and his might and his methods. And we need to be aware of these things in regard to Satan. His mission to instill fear. His might, his great strength. And his methods, how he goes about his evil work, seeking to destroy and harm the child of God. But then there's just one last thing I want to mention here today. And that is Goliath massacred. Goliath massacred. In verses 49 to 51, read of how David dealt with the great enemy of Goliath. And in the will of God, we will consider this next time. How David dealt with his enemy. But what I just want us to note is this. Just as David defeated Goliath, the enemy of the Israelites, so Christ has defeated our Goliath. He has broken Satan's power. Christ has defeated our Goliath, and he has broken Satan's power. And this is why we can resist the devil. This is why we can live in victory over our great foe, because of how our Savior Jesus Christ has dealt with him. How he's dealt with him. And we will look at this in the will of God next time. But I just want to leave this thought with you. As we think about David dealing with Goliath, and how Christ has dealt with our Goliath, how he has dealt with Satan. What we need to remember is our success against Satan is very much connected to our relationship with Jesus Christ. This is key. This is key to resisting and withstanding the devil. Our relationship to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in this service today and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Let me say this. You're a child of the devil. Your life's under his control. He's ruling. He's reigning in your heart. And this is not me saying this. This is what Christ says. And the simple truth is this. If you do not turn to Christ and seek his salvation, Satan will rule in your life and he'll take you to hell with him. He'll take you to hell with him. The only way you're going to escape his control, his power, the only way you can be delivered from his plans for your soul is fleeing to Christ as a sinner and seeking his salvation. The only deliverer in Israel that day was David. The only deliverer from Satan is Christ. This is why you need to flee to Christ for salvation. And Christian, let me say this. If you're struggling with Satan's attacks in your life, well, that is temptation. Well, that is his lying words bringing fear into your soul. Or many of his other plans and schemes for you, the answer is this. Flee to Christ. Flee to him. There's victory in Christ. Satan tempted Christ for 40 days. He never once got the victory. Christ has broken Satan's power. He's crushed his head. Through him we can live in victory. And this is what we see here. So think about how David dealt with Goliath. Satan is a most deadly foe, a terrible foe. But there is victory, tremendous victory in Christ. Therefore, let us live close to Christ. Let us live under the shadow of his wing. And let us fight the battle by the power of his Spirit and by his grace. I trust God will bless these thoughts to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.